This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. From the summer of 1941 until early 1943, the city of Leningrad, now St. Petersburg, lay under German siege. Bombed, shelled, cut off from supplies, the city that Peter the Great built to point Russia westward lost a million souls. One survivor was the composer Dmitri Shostakovich, a wartime volunteer firefighter who, in the terror of the siege, composed his Symphony No. 7, the Leningrad Symphony. The Russian conductor Valery Gergiev has made a new recording of the Leningrad Symphony with the Kirov Orchestra and the Rotterdam Philharmonic. This is a long symphony with a long passage that may describe the German invasion or may be more general than that. Whatever the case, Valery Gergiev says the symphony instantly became world famous.
It was performed in Russia. It was even performed in Leningrad by musicians and conductors who were hardly eating anything, and they were close to practically inability to act, to sing, to conduct, to play wind instruments. But these heroes, they played this legendary performance. I believe that Leningrad Symphony is one of phenomenal documents of 20th century.
The best known part, for sure, of the 7th is the theme that comes in it's about 8 minutes into the first movement of the symphony, which is repeated over and over and over, a kind of a violent, horrible version of Ravel's Bolero. It just repeats over and over and over again. It gets louder and louder and louder. How do you understand that, what's happening in that passage? Because this is an interesting point about Shostakovich and what he was doing here.
Well, it has to look like seemingly unstoppable. It has to look like totally dangerous, totally heartless, if I may say, a machine which will crush everything on its way. Shostakovich disagreed with events around him, and I think it started earlier than 1941, when he saw his own country going to become a concentration camp and something like a machine which was called the Stalinist machine. So I hear in these tunes and in this march, in this, you know, machine-like, you know, then it starts to really knock you out of your comfort, knock you out of your natural position.
I was surprised to read about how often the Seventh Symphony was performed, dozens of times in the United States, a manuscript, I believe, almost smuggled out through Tehran to Britain so that it was broadcast on the BBC. During the 1940s, this symphony was an anthem of Soviet resistance. It raises the question, were the circumstances of the composition and the situation of Leningrad Did they contribute perhaps to an inflation of the value of this piece of music? I mean, was it popular for reasons that have nothing to do with its musical value during the 1940s, and has it had some time coming down to earth over the past 60 years?
Well, let's go back to events of recent history. Can you imagine that the horrors of 9/11 would not last just 1, 2, 3 days? Can you imagine something like 4 years of it continued? So Shostakovich knew what he was doing and what he was witnessing. It wouldn't be for him a bravura kind of powerful dramatic statement where you in 5 minutes, in 7 minutes can articulate everything you feel. So he was so full of protest, so full of anger, so full of spirit, powerful, strong, high, to resist, to speak about it, that this should not ever happen again. You can't bomb peaceful cities, peaceful people. You can't take anybody's life. You can't. So how a musician can speak about it? Through music. You can say many, many things in Russian. Then American people say, what he's speaking about? When you speak music, you don't ask questions.
Now, explain something to people who are unfamiliar with the symphony. Two symphony orchestras, apart from the fact that you are the music director of both, what is the need for two orchestras to play Shostakovich's Seventh Symphony?
There are composers like Mozart who felt very comfortable with 60 musicians on stage. There are composers like Bach who could engage even 12 musicians and still produce fantastic work. Then there are Mahler and Shostakovich at their biggest, most ambitious, let's say, in the mood to write for orchestra and chorus, and the orchestra will be maybe 130, maybe 140. This is what we're talking about in case of Seventh Symphony of Shostakovich. Shostakovich clearly indicates he wants bigger than normal. Then he says, I'm going to write this symphony. It will have not three, it will have six trombones, it will have eight, it will have 10 horns, it will have maybe 10 trumpets, it will have double string section, but you will hear how much I hate the war, how much I am against it.
Well, Maestro Gergiev, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Happy to be with you, thank you.
Valery Gergiev, who conducts the Kirov Orchestra and the Rotterdam Philharmonic in a new recording of Shostakovich's Seventh Symphony. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.